folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record here in my vehicle as I drive back from work in Washington, D.C. For better or worse, the government is still in furlough, so our streets are a little bit more wide open, but I do have some time in bumper-to-bumper traffic to make these podcasts happen once a week. So every Monday there's a new episode, about 10 to 11 minutes of brain dumping and brainstorming, and I would love the conversation to continue on Twitter, so feel free to tweet at me. I'm at mehanedu, and we can keep the conversation rolling all week long, or you can find me on my website. I'm www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up about teaching. So let's get fired up about this week's topic, which is a subset, and I apologize for anybody who's not part of the subset, but I think it'll be a great episode regardless. We're talking about Catholic Schools Week, because when this airs, we are celebrating our Catholic schools. For better or worse, we are a different breed of dog, as Flannery O'Connor once wrote. Flannery O'Connor, of course, a famous Catholic author from the American South, from Georgia, and in her short story, A Good Man is Hard to Find, there's a character that, called the Misfit, and he says that he was, quote, a different, his father said that he was a different breed of dog from the brothers and sisters. I think that's a good way to describe the Catholic schools. I like that word, the Misfit, because there's really, it's not as easy to characterize Catholic schools in the 21st century. And as we celebrate them this week, I want to sort of talk about some of the highlights about what Catholic schools offer, as well as some of the unique challenges that are presented by presenting in a faith-based environment and how we kind of try to tackle and approach them. Certainly with respect to anybody from any other faith tradition, I'm not saying you have to be a Catholic school or a Catholic educator to listen to this podcast. It's kind of a chance to see where we're coming from and kind of how we do what we do. I think especially in our political discourse today, where we find ourselves so divided along these tribal lines. This is with us or against us. And so I think it can be really empowering to just hear out, you know, a different side or different perspective from where you might come from as an educator. I've worked in the public schools. I'm a public school educated K through 12 my whole life. Some great, great public schools in New Jersey. And now I work in the private Catholic environment. I went to a Catholic college, but really at the college level, much of my college experience was pretty much on par with what you would see at a big state school. I didn't really have the faith in the classroom as much, though we did have religion classes. But for me, what really kind of was a differentiator in my Catholic experience was our service and our programming for campus ministry. It existed outside of the classroom, and that's actually been a big driver in my personal faith life, as well as my time as a high school instructional coach, the way that I approach curriculum design, the way that I approach what we in the Catholic tradition call educating the whole person. This is not so different from what public schools might call the Whole Child Initiative, but for the TLDR, right, too long, didn't read version of that, there are two taxonomies. There's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? You have to be safe and supported and well-fed. And then there's the Bloom's taxonomy of levels of understanding or levels of knowing, right? So you remember, then understand, apply, analyze, and then you evaluate and you create at the highest level. But simply stated, we believe as Catholic educators, and of course educators the world over kind of said this, and I wholeheartedly champion it, you can't do Bloom's before Maslow. You have to have the Maslow stuff locked in. So your kids have to feel safe and supported in your classroom. They have to feel understood. They have to feel appreciated. They have to be fed. They have to be protected. And a big part of Catholic education is really to make sure that groundwork has been laid, because we believe that we're educating the whole person and that our role as educator does not end when the bell rings. We're not just that person who gave a really good lecture. I think about the television show Breaking Bad, which is the exact opposite of a good role model teacher, but in the earliest of seasons, when Jesse Pinkman, who is like, you know, one of the main, I guess, characters, sometimes a villain in the show, finds himself at odds with Walter White, his former chemistry teacher from high school, who of course becomes our protagonist and also the main villain. I mean, like, we watch him become a bad person over the course of the run of the show, and how he becomes from a mild-mannered teacher with a cancer diagnosis to like a ruthless murderer, drug dealer, and just an awful person all around. But in the beginning, before he kind of is too far into his alter ego, Walter White is just a, you know, a humble chemistry teacher, and Jesse, for one reason or another, does something wrong, and one of his friends, you know, is like, you're in trouble with your old chemistry teacher. What's he gonna do? Make you clap the erasers? Like, you know, what possible influence or impact can a teacher have outside of the classroom is kind of the joke. And I laugh about that because I think about, especially in small schools, especially in independent schools, we really are there for pretty much everything that students need. I've joked with other educators in the Catholic space that if you are a Catholic school educator, over enough time, you're probably going to wind up teaching more than one class outside of your discipline. This week, I guess, as luck would have it, I'm actually stepping in for a long-term sub position to teach religion classes, which is an awesome opportunity and really scary for me because I have a minor in religion, but only a minor in it. So I minored in philosophy and religion, and but my master's degree and my, you know, my education space has always prepared me for Shakespeare and for English and poetry. And so it's a real challenge to talk about morality with a room full of 11th graders where, look, the stakes are really high here, right? Like, if I get it wrong, you know, if I walk away in my English class and, you know, I'm geeked out over The Great Gatsby and they're not geeked out about it, well, then they haven't read F. Scott Fitzgerald. I think their life is less fulfilled by that, but ultimately that's a matter of personal preference. If, however, as a religion teacher, I drop the ball, or I'm a jerk to them, or I have them feel judged in any way, or, you know, like, left to feel less than for anything that I say in my classroom, maybe they walk away with a bad taste in their mouth about religion altogether, about morality altogether, about the Catholic faith altogether. And I know there are plenty of critics, and some of them are very well justified with the type of things that they can point out about, you know, problems in the Catholic Church and problems with some faith-based systems of education and individuals who have abused or misrepresented their roles in that space, which does give us a bad name, right? And that's the stakes we're playing with here. Like, there is no room for error because Hayden the Great Gatsby is a shame. But walking away with a lowered opinion of, you know, the divine and what it means to be human and what it means to be a person of empathy and having the moral compass, these are things that are much bigger in their consequences in life than, oh, I didn't really get The Great Gatsby, I didn't really understand it. And so we really have to rethink the way that we approach teaching. One of the things that I like about my school is we are kind of driven by our mission statement. And our school's mission statement is that we seek to educate all students. I love that part already. Like, all students. Not white students, not black students, not brown students, yellow students, green students. All students. We educate all students, first and foremost. All ability levels, all genders, all races, all backgrounds. Certainly all religions. We have plenty of students in the school who are not Catholic. And the reason why is because the Catholic schools, for the longest time, were an alternative to the public schools, which did struggle for a number of reasons, through, you know, through funding, through segregation. So the Catholic schools seek to educate all students. There's a very strong connection with immigrant communities in the Catholic Church, particularly the Irish and the Italian, historically, and now the geographic center of the church, you know, shifting to Central and South America, large Spanish-speaking populations. So that we educate all students, I think already, like, I'm in. But we seek to educate all students in the life of Christ, makes sense for a Catholic school, and foster the pursuit of excellence, which sounds very, you know, aspirational, but I think that's good because it taps into the idea of technology integration and best practices for the 21st century, lifelong learners. So we're not just the tradition, but we are the transformation and the next steps to prepare students for the world outside of school. So we seek to educate all students in the life of Christ and foster the pursuit of excellence in the whole person. And there's that phrase again, whole person. I know dedicated teachers in the public and the private sphere do this routinely, but I think it's so critically important to note that the teaching influence does extend beyond the classroom. And as a Catholic school educator, we believe that. So we have school-wide service opportunities. In my own high school and college experience, like I said, high school I was in public school, but college it was, hey, do you want to go on a retreat? Do you want to go on a service project? I did 2 years worth of service projects to Jamaica in the West Indies. Helped organize and lead an entire one, a team of 20 students down there, working in homes for the abandoned elderly, hospitals, schools, like one-room schoolhouses, visiting people, helping rebuilding homes in Riverton, which is a city built literally inside of a functioning dump. It's a very harrowing, very, very, very sad experience, but also a very powerful one. Because you think of Jamaica, you think of islands, and you think of, you know, beaches and Rastafari, and all that stuff. stuff is of course there, but the majority of the people in Jamaica never have a chance to even see the beaches, because the way that the island is designed is there's so much poverty, and so these people who are located at the center of the island don't have the means or the opportunity to leave it. So doing service work was really powerful for me. Working with the Franciscans, as we did outreach programs and retreat programs, I worked with Habitat for Humanity. I had a chance to build some houses in, Austin, Texas. So I really champion this idea of educating the whole person and service learning through our school, not just in the classroom, but outside of it. And so I'm so pumped and so privileged to be able to bring that into my classroom space and talk about my faith through our content area, because I say it over and over again, but like, the big secret of education is that we don't teach content. We use our content to teach kids, or we teach people. And for me, being able to use The Great Gatsby as a study of, like, not just the 1920s, but the study of the individual who was F. Scott Fitzgerald and what he struggled with, alcoholism, infidelity, the loss of a faith compass. And he writes this into the characters of The Great Gatsby. So we have this, you know, this beautiful expose of a time that felt directionless and felt lost. And as he coined that term, the jazz age, you know, which everything was, you know, so loosey-goosey and so free-flowing, it comes at a tremendous cost on a personal level. And if we can study characters like Jay Gatsby or Nick Carraway or Tom Buchanan or Daisy Buchanan, Jordan Baker, Meyer Wolfsheim, and we can kind of see, you know, all of the things that they are and are not, almost as a glimpse into the human condition, which I know they do in many, many schools, but we can really be a little bit more overt about it in the Catholic space. So I'm just very honored to do it. So yeah, that's us this week, and I'm so excited to be able to share in that with many Catholic educators who listen to this podcast and who are all over the world on Twitter and elsewhere. So yeah, thank you for listening. More next time. We'll be back to the public school and everyone else's school, but that's just a chance to figure out who we are this week. Thanks again for listening. This one's a little longer, but I think it was worth doing because, like I said, it's a big chunk of what we do, so I'm happy to do it. If you like the podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes or on Spotify, or mash that button over on adrenalinerush.com, where you can subscribe or join the mailing list and all that stuff. And thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. We'll be back with more next Monday.